Well, hey, folks, this is Chris Brown. This week, I want to encourage you to sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter, and we will send you lesson one of Financial Peace University for free. This lesson will kickstart your plan to save more this year. Go to stewardship.com and sign up for our newsletter to get this download absolutely free. Now, on to our show.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Folks, this is a show where we talk all about the Bible and what it says about life and what it says about money. And as a result, our lives are taken from living in crisis mode, and instead, we are then given the opportunity to dream. That's our prayer for you. Our phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. As we get started here, this week and through the weekend on stewardship.com, we're giving you the first audio lesson of Financial Peace University for free when you sign up for our newsletter. You'll receive weekly tips and articles that will encourage you. So make sure you take advantage of that. And as we get started and you're calling in, again, that number is 866-357-3283. And the email address, if you want to email in a question or a comment or a testimony, is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. As you're calling in, I was reminded last night, I was tucking my kids in. I don't know if you've ever been there before. And Max, my oldest, told me, and you guys are going to die. He told me, he said, my stomach hurts. And I said, really? Your stomach hurts? He goes, yeah, I feel bad. And so he said, I feel bad and my stomach hurts at the same time. I'm like, I don't get it. And so I started digging more. And it came out that he felt guilty and felt bad. He felt wrong, like he had done something wrong. And I asked him, I said, you know, there's got to be something. Of course, you know, kids are going to be kids. They're going to do things wrong all the time because they're trying to figure out life and their identity and all those kind of things. You know, but they're small things. This had to have been something big. And so, of course, my mind went automatically to the really bad stuff, just like probably you would have thought of. This is an 11-year-old boy, my boy Max. And I guess something happened on the bus where a kid said something inappropriate on the bus, and it was towards a girl, and the girl turned around and was kind of really just super upset at the, three kids, and she kind of just blamed it on all three of them. And of course, Max was scared that the principal was going to be calling mom and dad the next day, and so he was really, really upset about it and discouraged about it. And as he was just processing this and his feelings and the Holy Spirit convicting him and that tenderness towards doing right and not doing wrong and making sure he doesn't upset mom and dad and upset Jesus, I was reminded of this truth, and this is good for us all to remember, myself included. Our kids are much more open at nighttime, at bedtime. You know, that day he had been playing, he'd been eating dinner, he'd been playing some video games, he'd been playing, you know, outside, he'd been doing a lot of different things, and he'd been sarcastic with me, I'd been sarcastic with him, he'd been, you know, been messing around with his brother and sister. Lots of things were going on where he was not that tender. But at nighttime, man, they will tell you things that they will not tell you the rest of the day. And so my encouragement to you, for those of you who are parents, don't miss out on the openness that your kids have at nighttime. I was reminded of Psalm 34:18 that says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And so even the Lord, he takes advantage of those moments, and we need to also. And when our kids are going to have those tender moments, and maybe your kid's different, and it's maybe early in the morning when they're waking up. I don't know what it is, but leverage those moments in their lives where they're tender, where they're not distracted, where they're not trying to act too cool. Because that was really an eye-opener for me, and I thought it was worth sharing. Are you taking advantage of those nights and those times right before bedtime? Well, first on the line today, it looks like we got a call in from Chandler, Arizona. This is Art. Art, how you doing?
Good, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I help you?
Good. I just had a question. I just basically turned 55 December, and this year I'm kind of trying to optimize what I have for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is see if I have a balanced portfolio or if I'm trying to invest more in retirement on one side and not enough on the other. So right now I'm contributing, I'm maxing out the 401k at $24,000 a year. I'm also maxing out the Roth each year at $6,500. And I also have, my wife, she's doing the Roth as well. But that's, when I listen to Dave, I drive home at night, he always mentioned 15% 401k. Right now, this is, I'm at $105,000 annually gross income right now. Household is $145,000. So right now I'm doing about 29% of retirement investment of my gross income. And I'm also doing a Chase Managed Fund where I do about $500 a month. I'm trying to do the dollar averaging. But I invested so far about $53,000 in there, and now because of the market volatility, it's around $47,000. But I understand you got to wait to see what happens on the long-term investment side of things. But I'm wondering, is there any other kind of investment tools that I can use where I can shift the 401k on the retirement side more toward after-tax investment after the Roth?
Yeah, I think you're doing great. I didn't hear much that I would change. The only thing that sticks out to me is that you might be over investing, which I have never said that on this radio show before. You are absolutely killing it, my friend. I want to ask you, is your primary paid off, your primary mortgage?
I have no mortgage. I'm debt free.
Okay, for those of you who are listening, he's obviously investing at a very accelerated rate, well above the 15% of household income that we recommend. That is because he's already paid off his primary, and he has absolutely no debt, and he has tons of margin, and he can do this, and he's being very wise, living below his means. I don't see anything wrong here. I like the fact that you got the 401k maxed, you've got the Roth maxed, and I think with any additional, I would just do maybe a traditional IRA, or I would do a just some low turnover growth stock mutual funds. Any of that's fine, and that keeps you diversified. That gives you control, and it gives you access to a lot of different mutual funds. I like your approach. I like everything that you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see any kind of gaps at all. You definitely want to have your 401k maxed, and you definitely want to have Roth maxed. And then after that, it's really just traditional IRA. You want to have that code over it, and then low turnover mutual funds. If you wanted to get into a variable annuity, maybe you can have access to some mutual funds that you don't normally have access to. But I don't see any need for that. I think you're doing great. What's going to win for you, Art, is two things. One, the fact that you're dollar cost averaging, especially in the volatile market, that's what's going to work for you, and the intensity that you're doing it. Those are the two things that are going to win. In between instruments, when you're going back and forth between instruments, you might get 8% in this mutual fund and get 9% in this one. For me, that's not what's going to make you win. It's the fact that you're well over 15% that's going to make you win.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah, I have my, right now I'm dollar averaging in the managed fund, but that, like I said, that's pretty volatile right now. But
yeah,
my banker, he says just hang in there, and it's a long-term investment, and you're dollar averaging, and that's what you need to do.
Art, for our listeners, when Art's referring to dollar averaging, he's talking about dollar cost averaging, which in a volatile market, which we've seen recently, when you're looking at 200 to 400 points a day shifting back and forth like this, you want to buy at the low, and then the next day you're buying at a high, and the next day you're buying at a low. That's what he's referring to. And so then you're not, if you only, invest once a year, let's say on February 10th or something like that, then you've got a big danger that you're buying at a high, and then it's going to go down for the whole year. So But again, folks, and Art, this is a good reminder for you as well. And I hear that you've got a very level head with this, but we're looking long term. And when you look at the market over the last 85 plus years, when you think long term, you will definitely win. So, Art, good question, and you're doing great, and we appreciate the call.
Yeah, I guess the key is being patient.
Yes, and don't look at that statement every time you come in, you'll be frustrated right now. So,
that's for,
yeah, that is for sure. But appreciate the call.
Well, thanks for your input.
All right, thank you. Okay. All right, next on the line, we've got Lynn calling in from Colorado Springs. Lynn, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chris. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
So my wife and I are both 31. We're interested in buying our first house together. We're currently renting, and, yeah, we just want some advice on whether to put our money towards rent or a new place.
Yeah. So let's talk about your financial condition right now. How is savings looking? You got any savings?
We have about 30,000 savings right now, but probably about half of that may be going back to Uncle Sam come tax season. So
okay, what's your income?
Mine is about 65,000 a year, and then we have a baby on the way come May. My wife will be wanting to be a stay-at-home mom, so
okay,
we're trying to stay focused on my income right now.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the new addition.
Thank you.
So I love that you are already making steps towards focusing on the one income. That's a good move. Okay. What about debt? You got any debt?
I've got $50,000 left of school loans.
And have you started investing at all?
With my current job, they match a 3% towards a simple IRA and started doing that, but not a whole lot.
Okay.
Besides these last few months.
Okay. Are you familiar with Financial Peace University at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually, we've taken that course together, my wife and I.
Okay. Here's what I'd recommend. I wouldn't buy a home for two reasons. One is because your debt's pretty substantial. It's almost a year's salary. So I wouldn't buy right now. It doesn't mean that's not, you can't take care of it, take care of a house in maybe a year or two. You're going to have a child joining the family. And so I think that causes a little bit of, not stress, but some tension, getting used to some new living parameters. So, that putting a house on top of that, you're adding two stresses to your life and at the same time. And so that didn't feel good. I don't know if I like that. So, here's what I would recommend. I would take that 30K, and this is going to be extreme. And you've heard this before in Financial Peace University. You have 30K in savings. I would take 29 of it, and I would put it towards your student loans.
Okay.
Now, because you have a kid coming, if you feel more comfortable with 27 or 26, because you want to have, maybe there might be a complicated birth or something like that, that's fine. But I would hammer that student loan. And I think right now, when you guys have two incomes, how much longer? A couple months?
We're currently on two incomes. So my wife, she'll probably be making about $30,000 a year. That's if she continues working.
Okay, so let's just say you guys are even at 90 and you got 85 take home. Let's or seven, probably 80 take home or something like that. So what would happen if you were to set your budget at $40,000 and be completely debt free by the end of the year?
That'd be awesome as well.
Yes, it would.
I don't know. School payments.
Yes, it would. And next year, you set your budget again at 40, and next thing you know, you got 25K in savings, or probably about 20, and maybe even 18 after taxes, and you've got your emergency fund done. Next thing you know, the year after that, so you're looking at 18 months from now, or maybe 20 months from now, you're looking at starting to save your 20% down for your house. So that's the order that I would do. I get Proverbs 6:5, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. That's what you want to do. You want to free yourself. You want to get rid of all that debt. I wouldn't try to start running until you get rid of the ankle weights. So, but I think you'll be fine. I think you got a good income. Take advantage of two incomes while you can. And again, you're budgeting your lifestyle on yours, well below yours. And all of her work right now is going towards debt, just slamming it, getting it out of there.
Would you recommend not buying the house until we would get 20% down?
For sure. 20% is the minimum. I'm glad you asked that. 20% is the minimum, and you want to do a 15-year fixed loan, and your payment with principal, interest, taxes, and insurance should be no more than 25% of your take-home pay.
Okay.
And that'll give you an idea of what size house you're looking at.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Folks, I got an email here from Amy. I wanted to thank you for providing such a great show and service on such an important topic. Well, we agree. Very important. I've been very inspired by your personal story, as well as your information about being a steward of God's blessings. I was able to incrementally make it to a full 10% tithe this past year. So cool. Bob and Amanda are smiling through the glass. Moving up 1% each month. I use many of Dave's financial ideas too. I think your focus on the meaning behind why we should manage our income and resources better is very critical in changing one's mindset and heart. Well, we agree. That's why we lead out with the why. By the way, Simon Sinek wrote an incredible book about leading out with the why in anything that you're pursuing. The why is very important. She goes on to say, pride is such an easy out when we think of spending. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. She goes emphatically, no, it's not. I love the interviews you have included this year, too. You have a very gentle way of steering folks in the right direction without too much of a guilt trip. Could you talk about generous people from the Bible that inspire you? I'm sure there are plenty of examples. I like your inclusion of scripture. I listen to your podcast each morning as I prepare breakfast. It gets me focused. I think that's a really good idea, y'all. I think I'm going to do that. I think coming up soon, I'm going to provide a teaching where we're going to dive into some generous people in the Bible. And I want to ask you, might be a cool thing for you to tweet me or Facebook post me. Tweet is still a weird word to me, but somehow reach out to me on social media. My social media handle is Chris Brown On Air. And let me know what stories come to mind. Bible characters, what generous people in the Bible would you want me to talk about and dive into their life in detail? That's a good idea. I like it. So thank you so much, Amy. Well, you know, my prayer as you listen to this show is that you're getting the encouragement you need to steward your money in life. We not only want to encourage you through the show, but we also want you to be encouraged by email through our weekly stewardship.com newsletter that delivers helpful articles and great stewardship tips and biblical advice that will equip you to be intentional in all areas of your life. There at stewardship.com, we try to provide answers to the questions that you're asking. Recently, I wrote an article on how to talk to your spouse about giving. Many of you have asked me those questions, either on the air or off the air. And so we're talking about articles that help you with everyday stuff, very practical stuff that we're dealing with. So I hope you take advantage of that, so much so that when you sign up for stewardship.com newsletter, you can get the super saving audio lesson number one from Financial Peace University for free. Now, you can listen to it anytime, anywhere. And my prayer is that, that would be one more tool that we're giving you that will help you, you know, get intentional with preparing for your future. So visit stewardship.com to sign up for the newsletter and get a free MP3 download of Super Savings from Financial Peace University.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
While we're on an email kick here, again, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. And this email comes in from Chris. And Chris says, I am trying to figure out how much to put in my emergency fund. Step one says, baby step one in Financial Peace University says $1,000. But the bank we use requires a $1,500 daily average to avoid a $12 charge. and the credit union we use requires an opening balance of $2,500. Is there a better place to start than the local banks or the credit union? And I'm just going to go out and bluntly say this. That is absolutely crazy and abnormal. I opened up accounts for my kids, little savings accounts, for $100, a $100 balance. And so what I would do is I would choose another bank. There's something wrong with that bank. Or another option is if you want to go to 1500, then do it. Or pay the fee, which I don't like those. What I would do is I'd choose another bank, like yesterday, because that's crazy. Well, next on the line from Williams, Arizona, we got April. April, how are you?
I'm great. Grateful to speak with you today.
Oh, yeah. The honor's all mine. How can I help you?
Well, my question for you is, so my parents are both in their 60s and they're in fair health. And over time, we've come to realize that they've saved very little for retirement. And what prompted me to call you, my mom just recently told me that we'll be expected to take care of them when the time comes that they can no longer work. So I guess my question is, what can we be doing now to help improve the situation, say, if they can't work in 5 or 10 years? And we're just kind of struggling with the idea and how to approach them further on this topic.
I sense a little bit of frustration behind that. You worded it so nicely. Is there some frustration there?
There's some frustration, I guess.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Are they currently working?
Yes, they both are.
Okay. And you said they're feeling, you know, pretty good health. How are they saying this? Are they just subtly alluding to it, or are they just flat out coming out like comically saying, oh, come on, well, who cares about retirement? You guys got us.
Well, I guess I'm pretty sure she was serious and not saying that in jest when she mentioned that we are expected to do that for them. Our conversations kind of differ with my mom. She'll be a little more open, and my dad just kind of shuts down. And like they say that they're just not planning on ever retiring, and so they'll work until, you know, they can no longer work, and then what happens?
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, I would dig into their financial positions, see how good or bad they are, if they're expecting Social Security and all those kind of things. I'd find out what it is you're working with and what you're going to be expected, which is hilarious to me, but expected to supplement. I would remind them that retirement's not an age. Chris Hogan says this all the time. He wrote it in his book, Retire Inspired. I'm going to give you Retire Inspired. I'm going to give you that book. That'd be a good thing to relay to them. And I'm also going to give you the legacy journey.
Right.
Because if you're asking me what you should do, I think that you should give them a glimpse of what retiring with dignity looks like. Because maybe they don't even know what that looks like, and they don't have a dream or vision of how they could not be a burden to the next generation. And so we're going to give you that. So as soon as we hang up, Amanda will hook you up with that. I would give them those two things. One thing you may want to look into is one thing that you're never going to just turn down their care. You're probably not.
Right.
So what I would do is I would look into long-term care insurance regardless. And I would do that pretty soon. If they're in their 60s, it's time to pull the trigger on that.
Okay.
So I would go to stewardship.com and just ask the question to one of our ELPs, our insurance ELPs. And then I would look at what that costs and maybe split that among the siblings. And I would do that probably sooner than later. If it's super high, then you need to have a significant conversation with them about it. But trust me, it's a big difference. I mean, I've heard horror stories on long-term care where the bill's like $8,000 a month. So just be careful about that.
And
you know what? Spiritually, I would be praying like crazy. Romans 4:17 says, He gives life to the dead. We serve a God that gives life to the dead, and He calls things into existence, check this out, that do not exist. And so I think you can really call them out in the things that they are doing well. Say, thank you so much for leaving us. Maybe it's good character or good decision making or good discernment. I don't know what it is, but the things that they have given you, call that stuff out, and they will kind of walk into the rest, perhaps. But make sure that you pray, because the God that does those things, that's who you're praying to, and it's the same God that we've seen in the scriptures can do that now.
All right, thanks, Chris.
All right, thank you. This True Stewardship community, folks, is pretty special, and you guys are getting the word out. Oh, we would have never guessed 2.4 million downloads on the podcast in just 7 months. So let's keep that passion for stewardship alive and keep spreading the word. Of course, make sure you sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter if you haven't already. And we're going to send you weekly encouragement and tips to become a better steward of God's blessings. Well, folks, that is a wrap. God bless you.